This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Baby.
I certainly can't seek comfort in the longevity of my career.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
You know how I feel about Mike Tomlin. I understand why it is ending.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Steelers Radio Network host, Jerry Dulac. Comedian, Adam Ray. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Our friend Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football is going to join us in about 20 minutes' time. Jerry Dulac, who's been covering the Pittsburgh Steelers forever and a day, he was at the press conference that was just concluded with Art Rooney II. He's going to join us top of hour number three to give us his thoughts on that. And then the very funny and talented and delightful Adam Ray, diehard Seahawks fan. He's making his way to our studio. We'll have a good time previewing that game of divisional playoff weekend with a diehard Seahawks fan. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. So Art Rooney II just finished up a press conference talking about a job opening in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Ooh. I just said those words. They're accurate.
Wow. It's crazy. Someone was talking about this. You know, whoever they hire will be the fourth Steelers head coach since the moon landing.
Since 1969.
The Raiders are currently paying four head coaches.
Yeah, they're on their six. They'll be on their sixth head coach since 2021. The Steelers have had soon to be four head coaches since the moon landing. That's correct.
It's like, man, oh man.
Yeah, we didn't stutter. These are all facts that we just mentioned.
Wild.
It just feels weird. You said, what's the number of days that Mike Tomlin was the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers? You had it down. You've now had it.
6,900.
Plus.
Nice.
Plus. Yeah. 6,939 days.
That's insane.
And so for Art Rooney II to have a press conference and say, yeah, we've got a job opening around here and this is the way it all went down, it just feels weird. Let's walk you through what he had to say again in an hour. Jerry Dulac, who's been covering the Steelers for decades, will join us with his two cents and what he knows about some of the behind the scenes. But this is the way the man in charge of the Pittsburgh Steelers described his reaction to what stunned all of us, that Mike Tomlin decided his time there was over after 19 seasons.
Well, it was his decision, and you know, I will say that I wasn't shocked, but I wasn't expecting that conversation yesterday either. You know, there were, you know, when you get to this stage of a career, obviously he even mentioned it himself that he was nearer to the end than the beginning, and so, you know, you could see that coming, and so as I say, I can't say that I was shocked. I was certainly willing to you know, take another run at it next year with Mike, and you know, that's what I was expecting to talk about yesterday, but obviously went in a different direction.
I'm wondering if he's referring to Tomlin saying closer to the end than the beginning. Was he saying his Pittsburgh tenure? Because he's a 53-year-old guy. 53 years. Somebody tenured 19 years in the National Football League, not a single time did he have a losing record in those 19 years. And in terms of, you know, what he did over the last several years, I understand no Pittsburgh Steeler playoff wins, five of them actually in a row of double digits. That's tied for his first team in the NFL to have five playoff losses in a row of double digits. But Big Ben towards the end of his career, Kenny Pickett, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. You could make the argument the best quarterback he's had over the last few years was the guy he just had.
Yeah, couldn't get the quarterback right. I mean, look, Bill Cowher retired, left Pittsburgh at 49
right.
And never returned.
I just don't see that, man. Again, it's just tough for me to see Tomlin sitting on a television studio set, part of the outside noise that he's been tuning out for 19 years. You know, let me tell you my opinion on this coach. Let me tell you my opinion on that player. I just don't know. But he could probably pick and choose whatever the heck he wants to do in the media front if that's the way he wants to handle it. And it does appear that he will not be coaching in the upcoming year because that was the impression Art Rooney II was left with.
You know, Mike indicated that he did not anticipate coaching, at least, you know, in the near future. I think he wants to spend time with his family and do some of the kinds of things he hasn't been able to do for the last, you know, many, many years. And so, you know, if something like that comes up, we'll deal with it when it comes up. But right now, that doesn't seem to be on his radar.
2 years until a team can hire him without having to reach out to that man who just spoke and say, what do you want for Mike Tomlin's services? Again, we spoke to him 1 week ago today, right?
Yep.
1 week ago today. Did that sound like a guy that was at closer to the end than the beginning?
Did not.
Did that sound like a guy that was uninterested? He was saying he loves the challenge every week.
You were the first person he had talked to that day.
That's what he said, because he was in the film room.
Yeah. Not first media person.
No, first actual
person. First actual human being.
Human being, yeah.
First human being.
You know, so, but then again, I have no idea. He also said he wasn't thinking about it, and clearly he had to have been thinking about it, where it's just like, I'm walking off the field in Pittsburgh, and I'm done here. And as a matter of fact, I know I'm done here to the point where, sure, I might sleep on it, but the next day I'm going to meet with my players and I'm going to tell Art Rooney II before all that, that we're done. In terms of who's next, this is something that I'm sure a lot of Steelers fans who are pleased that there's been a page turned from Mike Tomlin, they're going to hang their hats or their terrible towels on this one.
You know, right now, I don't think that anybody on our staff is a candidate, maybe a candidate to stay on the staff, you know, depending on what the new head coach wants to do, but probably not as a head coach.
That, again, is what so many Steelers fans that have been saying, we need to move on from Tomlin. I mean, because I've heard from y'all, okay? I've heard from, I've received your messages, I've received your emails, I've received your messages through radio hosts in Western Pennsylvania that reach out to me saying, you've got to come on and explain to our fans why you like Tomlin so much, why you think he should say that. Trust me, I've heard it all. And the one that does jump out that makes you go, is, you know, where's his coaching tree? Right? Who are the guys who have come? Like, you just take a look at the Rams. The number of people that Sean McVay has lost in coaching cycles from his staff, his current OC/passing coordinator and his current DC are on conversations this past week. So I hear you. I've heard all of that. And that is something that Steelers fans are like, going to hang their hat on if they are happy that Tomlin's gone. And I'm still, at the end of the day, stunned about it and eager to see who's coming in next. And I'm not going to sit here and say they have no chance to be as successful as Tomlin. I think they have a great chance to be as long, have the longevity as Tomlin because of who's in charge there. And I do think it is a jewel of a job to get, for sure. But fans who are basically saying, good thing that Tomlin's gone will be like, he doesn't even have a successor on his staff. And Arthur Smith is going out for interviews for other head coaching jobs. Other teams are asking for him, but Art Rooney II clearly is not.
But wasn't Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Tomlin, they weren't on the staff. They were all outside guys, and they were all, you know, in their mid-30s.
Well, Cowher is a Pittsburgh guy, and again, that's why I mentioned Cignetti. Mike McCarthy took tolls from people in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for many years. You want to go local, you got that. You want to go outside the system. I mentioned, again, Marcus Freeman. That's two college head coaches. I don't know. Jesse Minter is, again, another guy. Certainly, if you think that the Ravens are interested in him, maybe you want to pluck him. These are just names I'm throwing out. You want to go local or not? I don't know. But you're right. they have gone out of the system before, yep. and they have not had a coaching search in 20 years, so you know they're going to take their time. Mm-hmm. And you know, John Harbaugh is currently in the Giants facility as we speak. In terms of Rodgers coming back, I mentioned the soundbite before. We might as well play it. Art Rooney II was asked about Rodgers' future.
I mean, look, Aaron came here to play for Mike, so I think it will most likely affect his decision.
Certainly if they hire McCarthy, right? So it looks like, again, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a new head coach, a new quarterback, a new way of looking at things, a new way of doing things. And again, Steelers fans who have been chafing at the same old thing, you're about to get a big, fat, heavy dose of new. New set of eyes, new sensibility, new everything. Including a quarterback. I'm telling you, man. Malik Willis. You want to go young? You want to go new? You want to go see what we got right here? That would be a guy I would look at.
He is set up to get paid.
I know. You bet.
In 2 months.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I'll take your phone calls. It's a Wednesday, so you know what I normally do on a Wednesday? I power rank.
Power rank.
But, I mean, there's 8 teams left and 10 slots. I mean, what am I going to do? The power rankings of who are the best teams in the National Football League, those days are over.
Yeah.
I'm turning a page.
Until next year.
I'm turning a page. It's all about page turning. You know what I mean? I'm just saying this. My power rankings and the way I traditionally do my power rankings, we're going our separate ways right now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, ooh,
you know what I mean?
Journey.
Dang.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not firing it.
Right.
I'm not stepping down from it. I'm just saying we're mutually parting ways.
Mutually agreeing. Yeah, okay.
So what I have here, with 8 teams left in the National Football League playoffs to chase the Lombardi Trophy, I have power ranked the possible Super Bowl matchups in terms of the most compelling Super Bowl matchups. Hit it. All right, I am power ranking the possible Super Bowl matchups.
What do we got?
As you know, I go storylines, I go history, I go interest, I go eyeballs, I go narratives.
No ticket prices?
That's correct. I leave out the ticket prices, Mike.
Ratings?
$35.50?
Number 10 on the list is 49ers against the Texans. Texans v 49ers. We mentioned this to D'Amico Ryans when he joined this program just a couple weeks ago. Have you begun to even think about where the Super Bowl is being played, D'Amico Ryans? Wouldn't that be wild, D'Amico Ryans, if you took the Texans to the spot where you began your coaching career on the staff of the San Francisco 49ers? And he said, Rich, you're going to start to make me cry here, essentially. I almost went full, you know, Roy Firestone on him. but that would be pretty cool. Texans versus 49ers, D'Amico Ryans versus the guy in Robert Saleh, who is now the defensive coordinator there twice over, with D'Amico Ryans having left to go coach the Houston Texans. It would be pretty cool to see that matchup. Number 9, 49ers versus the Denver Broncos. In this day and age of head coaches who also call the plays, Sean Payton and Kyle Shanahan are top 5, if not top of the list. I'm sure Sean McVay is raising his hand. You know, you got Ben Johnson doing it now, just to name others. But Sean Payton and Kyle Shanahan on the same field, dialing up plays against the other team's defenses. And then, of course, you know, Elway's franchise against Montana and Young's franchise, just two franchises that have been in the Super Bowls quite often.
A rematch of the largest Super Bowl blowout.
That's another one that I don't know if I call that a narrative, but number 8 on the list. How about Rams and Broncos? How about Sean Payton on a sideline, Sean McVay on the other sideline? Two other top-notch play callers, as I mentioned. But the 2018 NFC Championship game, I think, would be mentioned quite a bit. Because we all know Sean Payton was on the Saints sideline in that NFC Championship game. The pass interference call that wasn't we all know, still sticks in the craw of everybody in the Bayou, and also, I'm sure, Sean Payton as well. Certainly since the Rams went on to go to that Super Bowl and score only 3 points rather than Drew Brees going with the Saints to take on Tom Brady and the Patriots. That's something that I think Sean Payton would be thinking about heading to the sideline of Super Bowl 60 of Rams versus Broncos. Number seven on my power rankings of possible Super Bowl matchups, Seahawks and Patriots. We all know.
Good one.
Obviously, about the Malcolm Butler moment. We'll be seeing that quite a bit. And Mike McDonald will be like, what are we talking about? You know, I wasn't on the sideline. Pretty much everybody on Seattle will be like, who cares? Right, what are we talking about? And you know, I mean, bring that up to Vrabel, too. Vrabel will be like, why are we even talking about this? Because we talk about rematches and Super Bowls and things of that nature. But Sam Darnold going against the Patriots. Now, that's something that would be, in terms of remembering ghosts. The past.
Seeing ghosts.
That's the moment. Sam Darnold, the Jet, winning his first Super Bowl against the Patriots would really, really stick in the craw of many, many, many in New York, New Jersey, and surrounding New York Jet areas. That would be wild. Sam Darnold wins the Super Bowl by beating the Patriots. Come on! Couldn't pull that out of your butt fumble if you tried.
Hey, no.
Six on my power rankings of most compelling Super Bowl matchups, Bears and Patriots.
There you go.
Okay.
Another rematch.
How about this? In Super Bowl 60, you get a Super Bowl 20 rematch. You could actually divide the number of Super Bowls and come up with a nice number, right? Three.
Shuffle.
Of course, we all remember the fact that William the Refrigerator Perry was given the ball on the goal line, not Walter Payton. That's kind of, I can't still believe it to this point in time. But it would also be the matchup of Caleb Williams versus Drake May, the first overall pick of the 2024 draft, going against the third overall pick of the 2024 draft to win the 2025 season. I asked NFL Research, what is the record for a Super Bowl matchup between two of the highest drafted quarterbacks from the same draft class? Have we ever seen that before? And I got back an answer. Thank you, Ben McWilliams. There's only been one other Super Bowl in which two quarterbacks from the same draft class played against each other, period. And that's Super Bowl 18, when Jim Plunkett took on Joey T, Joe Theismann.
Wow.
Plunkett, the first overall pick of the 1971 draft. Joe Theismann, the 99th pick of the 1971 draft. By the way, that was a fourth round pick, number 99 overall back in the day.
Oh.
That's the only other time this would set a record that would only be beaten if a number one overall pick faces a number two overall pick from the same draft in the Super Bowl.
Jeez.
We've never seen it before. We may never see anything like it again if it happens.
I like that.
That's number six on my list. Number five on my list, Seahawks versus Broncos. Obviously a Super Bowl 48 rematch, something Seahawks fans would love to forget. Denver Broncos fans would love to forget. Seattle fans will never forget it. We also know back in the day, we talked about it prior to Super Bowl 48, the Seahawks spent 25 years in the AFC West. The fact that this is a Super Bowl matchup. Also, would it be the lowest scoring Super Bowl maybe in the history of the Super Bowl? With these two defenses going against each other?
What is the lowest? The Patriots-Rams was 13-3.
I mean, it would be a defense palooza in this Super Bowl. And then let's go the opposite end. Number four on the list, Rams-Bills.
I haven't mentioned the Bills yet. I thought that would be number one.
No. Rams-Bills. If week 14 of last season gets played in Super Bowl 60, we would not stop talking about it. Like this catch from Puka Nacua would go up there with one of the greatest catches in the history of the Super Bowl. 902 yards of combined offense happened in the 44-42 win of the Rams over the Bills last year in week 14. Josh Allen became the first player in NFL history with three touchdown passes and three touchdown runs in the same game. He had 342 yards passing, 82 on the ground. Stafford, 320 in the air, two touchdowns, one to Nacua, who also, by the way, had his first career rushing touchdown in that game. Oh, and by the way, it was 902 combined yards between both teams with no turnovers and no sacks allowed in that game. Could you imagine if that gets played in Super Bowl 60? Number three on the list, Rams Patriots. If this happens, guys, it would tie Steelers versus Cowboys for the most Super Bowl matchups between the same teams ever, with three. Super Bowls 10, 13, and 30 for Steelers Cowboys, Super Bowls 36, 53, and 60 for Rams and Patriots. We all know the first time it happened, Tom Brady sparked a dynasty. The second time it happened, Tom Brady got another win, his final one as a Patriot in the Super Bowl. And also, Julian Edelman won the MVP of that Super Bowl, Jules. Rams-Patriots would be quite something. And also a matchup of, at the time, we would know who's the MVP, who finished second, who could have the last laugh, who could say, I should have been one.
Nice.
Not you. Number two on the list is Bears and Bills. Do you imagine if this is Super Bowl 60, Bears and Bills? One, as you know, the Bears have only won once since 1985. They haven't been back in 19 years versus never won it before. Back at it for the first time since the 90s. Caleb versus Josh Allen would be quite compelling as well. My number one possible Super Bowl matchup in terms of my power rankings is Niners and Bills. One team last won it in 94, have been back. Another team, as we know, has not been back since the early 90s and have never won it. And the only reason why I choose this one is because the Niners can win it in their own building. And against a Bills team that is moving to another new building, trying to win it for the first time and the last time of their old building. And Josh Allen grew up in Fireball, California. Northern California, against the team probably of his youth that he had been rooting for. That's number one.
You have one more. Why not? I did not know this.
And I'll just give you one last one, too. 49ers and Patriots. Because we all know Kyle Shanahan got the job for the San Francisco 49ers after losing with Atlanta up 28-3. For him to be able to go and win his first one against the team that sent him to become a head coach anyway after that 28-3 comeback win. And could you imagine if Shanahan leads this game by a large margin at home? What would happen?
I can't imagine what would
happen. Talk about compelling narratives and storylines.
DJ, I know what would happen.
Those are my power rankings for possible Super Bowl 60 matchups right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Take a break. Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. We say hello to him when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it. And you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message. Because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Quick break. Tailgates are won before the food even hits the grill. That's why you need to go with Kingsford Original Charcoal. It lights fast, burns long, and brings that bold, smoky flavor every time. Since 1920, Kingsford's been the gold standard of grilling. If you're grilling for a crowd, it's the guaranteed way to get the W. Kingsford, the king of the tailgate. Get it today at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Compared to nationally available conventional charcoal in the USA.
Kyle
in the trailer,
yes.
At the end of it, they would go, Steven Seagal is marked for death. Like, that's how the title had to be. Steven Seagal is, yes. And then they would have the title.
I'm sure it was in his rider. Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show from Good Morning Football and, of course, fandom of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
You have the floor, sir, on what you're feeling inside you. I'm sure. I know you've been saying it on NFL Network and the Roku channel to do different spots to watch Good Morning Football's iterations, plural. What are you thinking? What are you feeling right now, Kyle?
Well, Rich, I remember coming on your program in 2024, that season, and I was there in studio with you. And it's funny you asked me what I'm feeling, because 2024, the Bears had just lost to the Packers on a last-second blocked field goal. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting in that chair next to you saying, they're turning me into a serial killer. I don't feel anything. I don't feel anger. I don't feel disappointment. They're making me Dexter. I have no feelings. Mm-hmm. And then in the fourth quarter of the other night, it was Costner. Is this heaven? It's Iowa. Is this heaven? It's the wild card round. And I don't care. It actually felt like a Super Bowl. Real feelings, real emotions. And that's just the game, Rich, before you even get into the aftermath with Ben Johnson doing his thing. It's a really crazy fun time to have any connection to the Bears.
Well, again, you doing what you do for a living means you have talked about Patrick Mahomes more than most and over the years. And having a fandom for a team that is in constant search for the quarterback. And for the difference-making quarterback. And I'm wondering, what does it feel like to see a guy in a Chicago Bears uniform make a throw like the one that Williams made on 4th and 8, that if Mahomes did it, the NFL media would have demanded a national holiday happen on the spot, that Caleb Williams is doing it 100% for the Bears in a playoff game when they have to have it, against the Green Bay Packers in front of the whole country to see. It's got to be out of body for you.
It is out of body. And the Mahomes comparison is apt, because I remember a huge part of the Mahomes ascension and legend was him hitting Tyreek Hill on a 4th and improbable in a must-win game. And when he hit that pass to Hill, you're like, he's unbeatable. He's supposed to lose. And that was the game against the Packers. And that's the Caleb lore now, is that there were 6 or 7 moments in that game where you say, well, this one's over. Just change the channel. This was the most famous one, the 4th down. But there's 50 other ones that they just kind of fought through. And it's surreal. It's strange. I think there's Bears fans, and you would understand this, Rich, with your Jets roots, is that there's just so much scar tissue. They can't get over it. Even in the fourth quarter, when they're starting to come back, they still gravitate towards the negative, and something's going to go wrong and something's going to happen. And it's just, it really feels like it's some work of magic that it isn't supposed. DJ Moore in the same spot, in the same end zone, the last time he beat the Packers, is making the same catch. And it's just so much scar tissue that's being ripped open, but it's a wonderful, wonderful pain, and it's really special.
Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football, NFL Network, Roku channel right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, brother. You give me the 2 cents on Ben Johnson and how he's handling his business pregame, postgame, during game, handshakes. What do you got? What do you think?
Ben Johnson, who took over a team that lost 10 games last year, that fired their coach because he ran out of timeouts. He ran out of time in a game when he had timeouts. Ben Johnson, who's beaten the Packers twice now. This has transcended sports, Rich. This has become societal. This has become, what do I tell my kids? We're talking about profanity and decency and sportsmanship. Here's what I will tell you. Class, the topic of class. We're gonna litigate class. You know who was really, really classy guy? And I'm not being snarky. He was really a classy guy, was Matt Eberflus. All class, all dignified. His teams were terrible. Terrible. His defense was terrible. The offense was terrible. It was like the coach was class. The team was ass. And so if you want a classy coach, go ahead. There's many guys you could hire. But if you're also a Bears fan, who was like so many of them, married to the past and gravitating to the 80s. Do you remember Mike Ditka? Mike Ditka would scream at reporters. He would throw the middle finger on the field. He once beat his mentor, Tom Landry, 44-0. Like, Mike Ditka was not like some sort of librarian. He's kind of back. And I really, really like the rivalry. I like the hatred. I also liked it for the Packers when their franchise quarterback stared at ticket-holding Bears fans and said, I've bleeping owned you my entire life. I loved that. And I love that Ben Johnson is doing the handshake, that he's saying bleep the Packers, because it's working. And he can do whatever the hell he wants. I'm not worried about my kids. I'll handle my kids. He can handle the Bears. He's handling them beautifully.
Yeah, giving out free Wiener Circle dogs, taking off the shirts. And that's the way I look at it, is that he may be, you know, not your cup of tea, but if he's on your side, you're damn straight. You're sipping all the tea and you're drinking all the Kool-Aid you possibly can. Certainly, he's basically talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to Chicagoland. He's talking to Bears around the world. When he's saying that, even if it does, he does come across like a lunatic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think he cares. I don't think you care. And I think the Bears are hosting the Rams one step away from potentially, if the Niners pull something off, hosting them for an NFC Championship game. If not, maybe going to Seattle and going to the Super Bowl. It's real and it's spectacular. You know,
it's all there, and you nailed it. And they are real and they are spectacular. And the fact that he is doing this to the players. Remember, when DJ Moore caught the game-winning touchdown in overtime against the Packers, he said in the post-game interview, F the Packers. Like, that's coming from his coach. And, like, we always, culture change. That phrase is thrown around. No one even knows what it means. I think people think it means, you know, stenciling grit on the weight room wall. Like, that's nonsense, culture change. Ben Johnson said, I'm going to come in for an owner, George McCaskey, who's, let's be honest, kind of Flanders adjacent. Like, he doesn't like to learn dirty words. He doesn't like that kind of stuff. And he came in here and said, here's our culture. Leap the Packers. Stencil that on a wall. I'm going to beat those guys. And it's working, and he's done it. So not for everybody. It's R-rated. I don't know about you, Rich. Like, I don't really put a huge priority as a parent in my life about profanity. There are far greater evils in the world and on their phones that I'm worried about. So I'm not worried that the kids are going to grow up scarred because of Ben Johnson. I think the kids are going to be excited that the Bears beat the Packers.
That said, Kyle Brandt, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur's de facto brother, and Mike LaFleur, his actual brother, are coming to town with former Packer Davante Adams and former Lion Matthew Stafford and a running back from Notre Dame and a running back from Michigan who will be like, what cold weather? You know what I mean? Like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is happening, Kyle, on Sunday night.
Rich, you'll remember that the Jerry Springer show used to originate from Chicago, and there was something called the Springer Bell, where when someone would throw a chair or say God knows what, they would ring that bell, and Steve Wilkos would try to hold them back. I'm head on a swivel after this game. Now, Bears win, what's Ben going to do? If the Rams win, is there not some that Sean McVay, who I think is the best coach in the NFL, number one, who he's been looking at his guy, Matt LaFleur, get dissed? If it's Mikey LaFleur who's watching his actual brother get dissed, is there a drive-by? Is there a terse exchange? Is there a now what's up? Is there anything? Because McVay is wholesome and McVay is all class, and I love McVay. McVay is a super competitive aggro SOB.
You bet.
And I think that there's also a new rooster in the hen house of the NFC, Ben Johnson. So, like, there's a game, and then there's a pay-per-view, and it's the Jerry Springer Show back in Chicago, and I can't wait.
No doubt about it. I know, again, by proxy, Josh Allen is your guy, too.
Sure.
And it's kind of crazy, the fact that we're nationally saying best shot he's ever had at it because of who's not in the AFC. You know, it's not Lamar, Burrow, and Mahomes left with him. It's Knicks, May, and Stroud left with him. So that alone is going to give him that opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. But the Bills also, on paper, although, as you know, Kenny Mayne would always say the game's not played on paper, it's played inside TV sets. But on paper, Allen 100% has been an MVP of a team that is much better. Has been much better, only to lose to Mahomes or Burrow this decade than the team he currently is taking into Denver right now. But they could make it. That's for sure. They could be in Santa Clara at the end of the day.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And I look right now, Josh Allen is the best player. He's the closest thing we have to Michael Jordan. And on his team, he's got Scottie Pippen, his James Cook. Scottie Pippen didn't really do squat against Jacksonville, so Jordan had to get 60. If Jordan scored 50 in that game, they would have lost. He had to get 60. And I would just encourage anybody who is really embracing the storyline that he doesn't have to go against Lamar and Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, take a minute at work today. Go to the Bills depth chart and look at the wide receivers that he is starting a divisional round playoff game with and tell me that he has an easy path. The Bills lost Tyrell Shavers this week, and you would have thought Montana lost Rice. Tyrell Shavers is the practice squad guy. They lost Gabe Davis, who the league chewed out and spit back at them. He's going to Denver with Khalil Shakir, who is great. He is a BJ Armstrong type. He's going with Keon Coleman, who you don't know week to week if the Bills even want to play him. And he's going with Brandon Cooks, who, God bless Brandon Cooks, Rich. He's on his seventh team. He joined the Bills in week 13. That's the war chest that he's going. The Eagles just got knocked out with AJ Brown and Devontae Smith et al. That's who Josh Allen, Michael Jordan's going to Denver with. Tell me he has an easy pass.
So is he the Robert Horry without the trophies? Is that who Brandon Cooks is on your, you know what I mean?
I would think the Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob. And yes, he's right there. Rich.
PJ Tucker. Ball. He's the PJ Tucker of the situation here. Just a mixed metaphors.
I see him as maybe like a Rod Strickland, the Blazers point guard, just effective, dashing. You put him any offense, it's there.
What's that stat? It was in the NFL Network packet here. I think it was the fourth team. Here, let me get this stat for you. I have it.
I love these.
Here it is.
Yeah.
First player in NFL history to have 50 or more scrimmage yards in a playoff game for four different franchises. Brandon Cooks for the Patriots, Rams, Cowboys, and now Bills. So
I remember he was in the Patriots Eagles Super Bowl that Nick Foles won. He got knocked out of the game. He was playing for Brady at the time. He's going to be the Josh Johnson of wide receivers. He's playing on every team. And it's just like we just pass him around and he's always good. But this is not ideal for winning a Super Bowl. He's your number two right now. It's nuts.
Before I let you go, give me the Steelers next head coach. Boom. I just gave you the crystal ball. Crystal ball it, Kyle. Man. Next Steelers head coach. Tomlin hasn't been gone even 24 hours. It was right around this time we were beginning to hear rumblings that he was leaving.
All right, so this is the dating profile. You want someone who's young.
Okay.
You want someone who is like kind of the Tomlin square jaw, like the alpha personality. Due respect to Mike McDaniel, it's not going to be him. And then you want probably someone defensive. I mean, I'm in love with Cignetti as much as everybody else is. So
come on.
It's like that's the kind of swing that I would love for Pittsburgh to take. Because you know the pressure, Rich. Mm. The Steelers cannot hire a coach and 2 years later say, our bad, let's get somebody else. No, this person needs to be working there in like 2045 to meet up their standard. So it has to be someone who just seems like the natural. And it's just, I mean, it's just, look at the picture. It's absolutely beautiful.
I mean, if you could find Cignetti in a 30-year-old body, right? Like, that's what you're looking for. But he's this is a Pittsburgh guy who I think Steeler fans would go nuts for. Anybody would. You know, I was mentioning him for the Raiders position potentially because obviously the Raiders can draft his current quarterback gunning for Miami in Mendoza. I don't know. But you're right. Like, a young sort of just, I mean, the thing is, Tomlin, 19 years, is leaving the Steelers as a 53-year-old man. So that's the sort of, right? Didn't you say Cowher left as a 47-year-old guy, Chris?
Yeah.
You said?
He was 49.
49. Okay. Like, that's the way things go for the Steelers.
I think it was Schefter who was pointing it out that you can't go back and look at the social media reactions when Mike Tomlin was hired because there was no social media. So it would have to be everybody's MySpace posts or something like that. It doesn't even make sense. That's his legacy.
Okay. So I think the Canadian Mounties are out behind the cabin right now, Kyle. They're trying to take out the molasses runners, I think. Is that what it was? Was it they were taking guns across the border in the Untouchables? Yeah. I think that's what's happening right now.
They're smuggling guns. I'm also going to go up and Strange Brew. I'm going to crack some beers.
The bookkeeper. The bookkeeper's outside. They're trying to get the bookkeeper, the Canadian Mounties, Kyle. So be careful, okay, in that cabin.
I got the syrup, the Mounties, the bookkeeper, Rich. Okay. And I'm also pantsless, so it helps in here, too. Thank you.
Nice. Good night, football. Kyle Brandt, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll chat soon, brother. I'll see you in Santa Clara.
I'll see you this weekend.
You got, oh, yeah, this week. Oh, that's right. You're coming out here.
I'll be there. Yeah, I'll see
you. You're part of game day morning this weekend.
I can't wait.
That's great. That's
thanks,
right.
Man.
By the way, I don't know if you saw the graphic from our, I guess, NFL media department, PR department.
Sure.
You and Kyle Van Noyer in the corner. So I guess it's just the Kyle corner. We should have a Kyle corner this weekend.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I hope for the Niners' sake, it's not Shanahan the weekend after that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Brandt, everybody. That's called a walk-off
line.
Thanks again. That's Kyle Brandt, everybody. Check out Good Morning Football every single day on NFL Network. And then after, switch over for more of that on the Roku channel, everybody.
Yeah.
That was a great scene in The Untouchables, by the way.
Oh, yes.
That he's about to recreate, hopefully not.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Hiring for your small business can feel like a full-time job, people. So it's so important that you hire right the first time. And that's where LinkedIn Jobs AI Assistant can help you take the heavy lifting straight out of it. It filters applicants based on the criteria you set and then suggests 25 great fit candidates daily so you can invite them to apply and keep things moving. Get started by posting your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/EISEN to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Fetty in Italy, our friend from the pond. Ooh. And then what do you think? The Tyrrhenian Sea? Not the Adriatic, right? The Adriatic. All right, anyway. Fetty in Italy. What's up, Fetty?
Yes, it is the Adriatic, actually.
Thank you, sir.
I just found out this today. The app that Michael Del Tufo pitched to Mr. Wonderful back then, it's viral, like it's real, and it's viral in China. There's a BBC article, there's a CNN article. They have done it. Like you have to check in every 48 hours, press a button to say that you're alive. And that's the name of the app. It's Are You Alive in Chinese, I think.
Oh,
it's crazy.
See, I was ahead of my time. I know. I mean, I knew it. I just.
And Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah, he could suck it.
Okay, sorry. The headline of the BBC article is the viral Chinese app for young people living alone.
By the way, I'd have the jet and the yacht if I.
Well, if only Mr. Wonderful had listened to your pitch and not fully eviscerated
you. Chris, before you say this, wouldn't it be terrible if you find out that Kevin O'Leary
and all that?
I'm suing him.
I would love that.
The name of the app is Are You Dead?
Are You Dead?
See? See, this is what this is. I knew I was ahead of my time.
Yeah, Mikey, somebody hit us up on Twitter the other day, and you know, they gave a link, but you can't click the link.
And think about this, in China, you're talking about a lot of people. That's like, I want to know, what did I say, $2.99 or $99?
I mean, I never would think that Mike Del Tufo was way ahead of his time. Thank you for the call, Fetty, in Italy with all that. A new bleak sounding app has taken China by storm named Are You Dead? The concept is simple. You need to check in with it every 2 days, clicking a large button to confirm that you're alive, because there's a lot of people in China, period, who are living alone. Yeah. And a lot of folks are wondering, are they alive? And if not, it'll get in touch with your appointed emergency contact and inform them that you may be in trouble, which is the exact idea you pitched to Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank when he came in here in studio years ago. He absolutely eviscerated you, to use the word that he said.
Presentation was piss poor.
Okay.
And you guys calmed him. Don't forget
I will admit,
that part.
Right?
And
presentation
and
sucked.
He thought, you know, you should just call your mother.
Exactly.
Is what he said.
But,
you know, that your mom could be somewhere needing help. and now this is actually happening in China. In China, where there's obviously a lot of customers.
I would be, seriously.
So this app was, according to this BBC article, the app was launched in May and then really has blown up in the last few weeks.
There you go.
According to research.
How much does it cost? Is it a free app?
No, it's not free.
Because he said you wanted to charge 99 cents.
Which is nothing.
And he thought that was exorbitant.
Exactly. No. According, the app has launched as free, but it has made its way now into the paid category. 8 won. Which is equivalent to $1.15.
Oh.
I was right at that number, too.
Cost of living has gone up.
Yeah.
Little is known about the founders, but it said there are three people who were born after 1995.
By the way, see you guys, or I'm done.
There he goes.
Apparently in China, research has shown by 2030, 200 million people will be one-person households.
You're on it, Mike. You were on it.
Presentation sucked.
You missed out on it. So did Kevin O'Leary. Except
so did Kevin O'Leary.
Except he's still insanely rich.
Yeah.
And now in Marty Supreme.
Yeah.
You know?
He is.
He was at the Golden Globes with did he have his like open collar or something like that? Like
two
he was
what? Two
like,
watches,
yeah,
open collar.
Like he was Elliot Gould in Ocean's 11. I'm like, what the hell is that
he
look?
He does dress great. He dresses for Greece.
Fetty in Italy, a diehard fan of the show, pointing out Mike Del Tufo was right.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.